Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. We're here for the legal counsel update in the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. Commissioners Fowler and Morgan are present. Commissioner DeYoung is on the way. But we're not certain what time he'll make it with road travels with the weather today. It's currently 2:02, and first up on the agenda is a personal service contract with Julie Schmelzer.
Okay, so the board's had an opportunity, hopefully, to review this, presented initially last week, and so if the terms look accurate, then we would look for a motion and a second to authorize Madam Chair to sign on behalf of the county.
Did Julie like it too? Have you talked with her?
She signed it.
Oh, there we go. She
did sign. That's it. Compliance right there.
So it is signed by her. I just was curious. There was a... that she signed it, I think that's enough for moving forward on it, unless there's anything different that we would need to talk about.
I didn't see any flags.
I knew that she had, the one thing I couldn't find in there was she had talked about cost of registering for different things if she's representing our county on something. But I couldn't think of anything that she would be registered for on behalf of our county.
And if it did come up, we could deal with it.
On a one-off basis, yeah. But that was one thing she had put in that initial email, and I just don't recall.
Didn't see it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
About attending...
like a conference.
There's something in 3.1 at the end. It doesn't say anything about money, but it does say the commissioner liaison has to approve that.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay, that works.
Yep.
That works. Okay. So I would entertain a moment to have the chair sign on behalf of the county.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that. Any further discussion?
No.
All righty. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 2-0 with one absent. My phone just blew up with 2503 numbers within literally the same minute. And Criminal Justice Commission calling back. So that's it's all good. And just okay. So
before we depart, item one. So these are the two original copies of the contract.
So I'll sign both copies.
Yeah. So you need it now.
I can sign it real quick.
I guess
I should date it. I forgot to date it.
Yeah, I think I've got a sign too, actually.
It's to form.
So, yeah. So I'll go ahead and take those copies when we go.
Okay.
And we'll process it from that point on. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so next up on the agenda is rules for implementation of ordinance number 2018-006, Utility Consumer Choice. My only concern is that Commissioner DeYoung isn't here, and I kind of think it'd be appropriate for him to be here as part of that conversation. Could we maybe hold off on that to see if he shows up before the meeting's over?
Yes.
And then if not, we can kind of see, but maybe just bypass it. He said he was going to try to make this meeting. He was driving back from Salem, so I'd like to give him every opportunity to be a part of that discussion if possible. Okay. So I'm going to skip ahead to number 3, May election timeline.
Right. So at the request of the board, last week I think we left off saying there may be a non-binding question. And so Pat went ahead and generated a timeline. Theoretically, it's right in front of you. Good. So it's in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that says now or never.
Yeah.
So if you want to do a question, we're here.
When's now?
Yeah.
Is that this week or is that today?
We essentially have 3 meetings after today to have it itemized and determined so it can go
That's
to the
right.
weekly business session on the 20th.
Yes.
For the resolution to refer it to the ballot. They have to have it to the clerks by the 22nd. People can appeal it, challenge it by the 5th. We have to file it with the county clerk officially by the 21st. And so we basically have Thursday, Tuesday, Thursday left, which is interesting because I'm in Salem all next week. So it would be incumbent upon you and Commissioner DeYoung, maybe. But Dan's in Salem Tuesday.
On Monday and Thursday and Friday.
I heard he's not going at the end of the week any longer. So he's just going Monday, Tuesday now.
Okay. I said I'm at the end of the week. I'm going to college.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
So so he's gone and I'm gone the first of the week. You're gone at the end of the week. This will make it fun.
Yeah.
Do you have subjects that you want?
What did we say last week were our subjects?
I don't think we went there. And I didn't know if Dan had any preconceived.
The only thing I'm curious about is the question had come up about State of Jefferson for the November ballot, and we had said we put it off to May, but there has not been any further request for it to be on the May advisory question. There's certainly a lot of grumblings right now, but that doesn't mean that, and we haven't had that discussion. The other one that is just curious is is there anything that we need to be asking related to fire response, fire stuff in our county in relation to the fire seasons and kind of where we're at? I had a long conversation with John Pappas with the IRAT stuff today. I've sent you guys an immediate, kind of a short question just to kind of get that conversation started. He has a meeting with ODF on February 11th, and then after that kind of can determine what's next steps. What do we need to kind of do for presentations and questions and different stuff? And I printed out all the stuff to kind of have that conversation, but it's the ordinances, the other stuff that Jackson County was looking on. Is there any advisory questions out of any of that that we want to come up with? And I don't know.
I don't know
that we need to right now.
And today's Tuesday, so... Are you here this Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here, and I think Dan's here, so that might be our last moment together to make that conversation. You could still flesh it out over a couple of days. Early next week.
I could always call into a meeting versus...
Right.
I don't think we were having one on Tuesday, because Dan and I were both...
I wasn't planning to do a meeting next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because I don't have anything that I want to ask, but...
Okay.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, these were put together, and then I realized later that they're kind of placeholders, the admin and legal.
Right.
And then I realized that our legal update's not happening next week, so.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I mean, does it mean you can't call a special meeting or put it on general or something?
Well, they could maybe have one on Wednesday if they had to.
Yeah.
Because two will be here on Wednesday.
Right.
After the weekly business session.
Even though you're out of town, you might be available if we had a...
On a Wednesday, I'd be absolutely available
right,
to call
right.
in.
Okay.
So, just a matter of...
That's timeline stuff, then.
The 13th, maybe?
Mm-hmm, if we had to.
Okay. And so, should we throw it on there for Thursday this week, too, just...
I think we should.
Okay.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Just in case.
Is it too late for that one? Okay. Thank you.
We actually have a pretty packed Thursday. We have a 1 o'clock meeting and a... Oh, then I have Lipstick. That's why it's a 1 o'clock meeting. So it'll be abbreviated 1 o'clock meeting. But admin on Thursday morning might be the time to get it going.
Okay.
Yep, we'll do.
Okay, so number four is coordination letters.
Yep, so annual tradition. And of course it's at the discretion of the board. So I think we've been doing it since at least 2012.
Yeah. Have we ever had a response? I mean, is there something else we should also be doing to... I know we need to be looking at our stuff to make sure that everything that we're desiring is actually in our plans, so there's something they can coordinate with.
Sure.
Because they're putting the stipulation on kind of exception coordination, that they don't have to coordinate anything if it's not in compliance with kind of our plans.
Oh, yeah, yes, we're engaged in a best practice on that point, I think.
Okay.
In terms of having the plan in place, it's quite detailed. Really, where the discussion used to occur, haven't heard it really in recent years, but was in terms of the difference between a coordinating entity and a cooperating agency, mm-hmm. as they call it. Jackson County had traditionally been a I think, a cooperating entity.
And we are not. We're coordinating.
Yes, and that did have implications for the Swanson 3 lawsuit we were able to join, at least initially, and kept that lawsuit alive on that basis. So it's paid off in the past, being a I don't want to declare that we're a non-cooperating entity, but to be formally recognized as a coordinating county.
I would like to support sending these letters until we can actually get more of a response. The whole intent is that they're required in federal law to coordinate with local government to make sure that our local needs are being heard and as part of the table.
Yes.
How that's translated into is that we have to have plans in place of what our local needs are. So one of those is the coordinated wildfire protection plan.
Yes.
That we've done in conjunction with Jackson County. There's some implementation we need to do there, but there it calls for, when they coordinate, they say, well, if you don't have it in your plan, there's nothing for us to coordinate with. So it's only where we're not in the same sync in your plan that we have to coordinate, kind of coming up with something. But the reality is they just do their own thing without our input anyhow. So we're asking that they continue to be reminded about coordination and demand that they come to the table for that. Is that a
That sums
fair
it up.
Summary?
I think okay. It is.
Mm-hmm. So every year we send them a letter saying, remember us, coordination.
A still small voice in the wilderness, is that us?
Well, it is. Now, so where we can parlay this, I would suggest, would be to follow it up with a request for an appointment, you know,
sure.
To actually have a meeting, and we can put them on for a general discussion agenda. And that has occurred in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think during your tenure, we've had some meetings with federal officials.
Yeah, not many.
Not many,
Elizabeth's
no.
been here once or twice.
It's pretty hit or miss.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this can be a good opportunity to kind of get that relationship rekindled.
Sure.
And the meetings that I've been in have always been productive. You know,
our local folks want to have communication.
Yes.
But
yeah, generally.
At the same time, in 2017, we requested to have membership on the BLM RAC.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard a response. In over a year, they haven't responded to having somebody on their advisory council for the Rural Advisory Council. So how is this really working with local communities when they haven't even filled vacancies on their RAC? So,
yes,
be a great question to ask.
Well, how would we what information would we be looking for from the electorate on that?
Electorate?
Yeah, if you were going to put a non-binding question, you mean a non-binding question or?
No, we're on
to ask the BLM.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Well. So, in line with tradition, it's probably worth sending the letters. Effectively, is the price of a stamp. And then, you know, we can follow up on the letters with the local officials to try and get them to come to a meeting of the Board of Commissioners and go over whatever the latest plans are that are in formulation.
Yeah, we, at some point, I need to follow up with Commissioner Roberts from Jackson County. She would like to make some amendments to the CWPP.
Mm.
And that's not a little task. I mean, the fire defense chiefs the county fire defense chiefs have to sign off on it. It's also OEF, it's also us. And when I met with her a week or two ago, she wasn't entirely clear on what changes she wanted to make.
Mm.
But mainly the idea was putting in here that she wants full suppression achieved immediately and not letting it burn as their current policy is on natural occurring fires in the wilderness sections. So I'm still, I mean, if we're to update that, we're routing people to go look at that plan, but if she's wanting to amend it, that's why I'm bringing that topic up. But for now, as it is, I think they're good to send.
Can I go back and ask a question about the ballot timeline? Is there anything else on the ballot, or are we going to pay for this?
We pay for every ballot.
We pay for every ballot. So if this is the only thing on it, is there anything else on it besides a potential advisory question?
special districts, I believe, are going to be on this particular ballot.
So there is one.
Well, I think she said this is the, it's always in the off year that they have the elections for this, any special districts officers.
Oh, okay.
That's what is on the ballot, basically, is the special district elections.
Right, so it's no additional cost.
No, so I can't say it because it depends on, I think it basically depends on whether they have to print an extra page.
Right.
And then there's considerations about the voter's guide, whether there's ink in paper being
employed. But we aren't alone on it, so it'd be minimized.
We're not alone.
Right, okay.
Well, it's a valid concern. I don't have the answer off the top of my head as to whether the county would have to chip in toward the price of the ballot.
Could you check it out by Thursday?
Yes.
Does the city have
anything going on? I don't know if they do.
I think they do.
We can check it out for
them. It's usually like 4-H. I don't know if they're coming up this time, but that's typically your countywide ballot.
They're going for November for the fire district, I think, but not May.
Yeah. So whenever we see 4-H, that's like countywide ballots.
Let's maybe ask what the status is before we commit to something, because if we don't have to pay for something extra, it'd be nice to not.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Didn't mean to go back, but.
The fire district.
All right. What's your thoughts on the coordination letters?
Yeah, I'm going to let you lead on that, because it's something I'm not caught up on.
I think it's a good first step, and it would be nice to set up some meetings to have BLM and U.S. Forest Service follow up.
Well, and I think that's expected with the fire seasons the way they are. They're going to go to a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
BLM.
Well, and did you see Senator Bearsugar's letter that he sent?
Yeah.
To our Oregon delegation. Did you get a copy of that?
I don't think I have seen that.
But basically that a lot of the Taylor Creek fire that burned was an area the BLM was supposed to treat and had not, thus putting us in harm's way. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yeah, I thought it was well crafted.
I'll forward that to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move forward with the letters and then the next item is Allen Creek Road Jurisdictional Exchange. So I think the question was, can we?
So this is another one that Commissioner DeYoung is pretty steeped in. And if we're going to be kind of
we can
waiting
put
for
it
him,
off.
Then probably a more productive discussion to have him also engaged.
The city was also looking for how it can be done. They were looking for a how and said they would get to us if they found the how.
Yeah, I think we figured it out.
Oh, okay.
On this end. We're in the process. Yeah. We've got a sense.
I don't think any of us would be opposed to doing that, but you're right as far as waiting for Commissioner DeYoung to be a part of that conversation. So if that's the case, then sorry, I'm just looking in my packet for okay. Then we can move on to the next topic. It's House Bill 2737, letter of support. We were asked to write a letter of support to be sent up before the, I don't remember which date, but essentially there's a lot of pollution going on in our creeks and riverbeds and such, and DEQ collects money that they're supposed to be cleaning up those waterways and they're not. And so this act would require that 50% of their annual penalties that they collect would have to go into a waterway enhancement fund for the intense purpose of removing and disposing of the debris in the waterways. Mm-hmm. The main thing is dredge miners had been the ones kind of doing this out of the practice of pulling out of the waterways for mining rights, for minerals. They were pulling junk out of the riverbeds too, and with all that activity prohibited, a lot of it's not being done. But they're collecting money for that purpose. They're not doing it. And this bill was meant to hold them accountable to actually cleaning it up and using the funds for that purpose. I don't know if where this one's going as far as the any controversies off the top of my head. I'm not familiar with any, but it's I know Representative Leaf and let's see, so Representative Nearman and then Beretta Leaf and Springer are the sponsors.
Anybody know the amount of money we're talking about?
I don't know how much they collect on an annual basis. It's just forcing that 50% of what they collect go towards
that. Just curious.
Yeah.
Well, and who wouldn't want to support that? That sounds like I'd love to. Do they have a date when they need it by?
They did, and I, of course, forgot it.
Soon. We'll say soon.
Let's see if I can find it.
I don't know what it goes to the committees. Mm-hmm. Did the committees sometimes tell us about the financial?
Oh, yeah, fiscal impact statement.
Yeah. I didn't look
that
up.
That's if it gets set for a hearing, typically you'll have a fiscal impact statement.
Oh, it comes with it when it goes to that level?
Yes, mm-hmm. Correct. Legislative fiscal office will just...
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. Well, and
some
I had...
money around it.
I had it up on OLIS. Let's see, staff measure summary and fiscal impact. Government impact statement prepared by Cameron Miles. No open government impact. So it requires at least 50% of the total annual amount of the civil penalties imposed by Environmental Quality Commission or Department of Environmental Quality for violations of water quality rules or standards to be deposited in Waterway Enhancement Fund. Establishes Waterway Enhancement Fund, requires monies in fund to be used for removal and disposal of debris in waterways, directs commission to adopt rules to implement provisions of act. Notice of no open government impact is what the financial statements did. That's the entirety.
So they didn't give the amount, they just said there's no additional impact.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So that is what
states. Yeah, whatever it is, it's probably worth asking.
Let me see if I can't recall. It was in my email, and I don't remember the date. I want to say it was February 13th, but I could be wrong, that they were looking for a letter by. And I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head, and I'm not doing a good job at that. And I thought I had the email up, but it looks like once everything got closed, which doesn't help anything.
I heard a click. Is that Mr. Danielle?
No. I can get back to what that date was in and of itself.
It sounds like there's probably time. It just has to be soon.
Let me see if I can figure out what the name was of the person. No, I apologize. I should have had that in front of us today.
No worries.
I'm sorry.
I think general sentiment is the board wants to support the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who wants to draft?
I think I'm getting volunteered for that, so...
Trying.
Okay, maybe I can work with Wally.
Let's work
together.
Yeah.
Help so that I'm effective in that writing.
Sounds good.
Thank you. All right. So, any additional matters from commissioners?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Sir, are you here for executive session? Okay. All right. So at this time, which is 2:25, we are going to move into executive session. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about the subject during executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of this executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The agenda items that we will be discussing are items 8A, county potential purchase of real property, ORS 192-6602E. Item B is MOU of Siskiyou Smoke Jumper Base Museum for renovation of facilities on county airport property, ORS 192-6602E. Item C is Bonker versus State of Oregon 16-35262 Ninth Circuit, ORS 192-6602H. D is State of Oregon PUC versus Josephine County Pacific Corps, case number 18CV54501, ORS 192-6602H. E is possible litigation regarding personnel policy manual section 7.1, ORS 192-6602H. F. Wagner versus Josephine County, case number 118CB01437CL, U.S. District Court, ORS 192-6602H. The recorder will now be turned off at 2:27 p.m. So it is 4:18 p.m. We are back in general discussion after our executive session. Just in summary, we have authorized to move forward with the negotiations of a purchase of the property under item 8A, county potential purchase of real property. Under 8B, the MOU with Siskiyou Smoke Jumpers, we approved to form the MOU and going to take that to the Smoke Jumpers for negotiation.
Well, what is negotiation the word, Dan, or is it?
No, we're just offering the MOU.
Present that to them.
We're presenting the MOU.
We're going to present it to the Smoke Jumpers.
Under C, Bonker versus State of Oregon, there's going to be some paperwork brought back to us Thursday for admin for approval.
Yes, so we're continuing that item to Thursday's admin meeting.
Okay, continuing it. Mm-hmm. That sounds good, that language. And then under the PUC, we're just holding course for now?
Correct.
Under E, possible litigation, we are going to move forward with negotiations and then revisit policy amendments down the line.
Yes.
Under Wagner versus Josephine County, case 118CB01437CL, we recommend the county immediately hire an ADA coordinator under facilities, and legal is going to help with that process and then further negotiations of movement.
Yes, correct. Yes. And
go ahead.
Two items remaining on the agenda that were continued from
we
previously.
Do. I just want to make sure there's nothing further that you guys have that summary was...
No, that summary works.
Okay. So we're back in... we're going to go back to agenda items we skipped over because Commissioner DeYoung was able to join us during executive session. And so what we have still are the rules for implementation of ordinance number 2018-006, utility consumer choice. And then after that, we will go into the Allen Creek Road jurisdictional exchange conversation. So first with the PUC utility consumer choice rules.
Yeah, so I brought back the draft of the rules to basically pick up where we left off last week and on continued rumination. So one of the points that we brought up and wanted to kind of work through was this whole confidential submission. The county's sort of soliciting and then possessing really private information and how would you keep that confidential. So I have now come under the opinion that all things considered, it's probably not necessary, and this is totally at the board's call, but it's probably not necessary to actually collect up that kind of information based upon the deliberations, the discussions surrounding the ordinance, the commentary that came in during the formal process, and otherwise. I think the way the ordinance is generally pitched is that you could probably get to the same place by having people attest to certain language that we'll certainly present, and I think we would continue this item to Thursday again, but that we'll craft and present, and the board would find agreeable.
Could you put a thing there under penalty of perjury?
That I will be economically, I am economically incapable of paying this, words to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for me, I wanted to make it more simple than what I'm hearing here. An economic hardship definition means serious difficulty with paying. We didn't ever say anything about defining it as serious. Mm. It was just difficulty paying. I didn't want the word serious in there, but when we got down to enforcement, the level that we're taking it, that count, we'd almost have to hire an employee just to process these applications and the timing of it. I wanted to make it more simple, that we have a form that says, this will be an economic hardship for me, here's my name, my ad, and we have it printed out. They provide their name, their address, their phone number, and they're signing it. And we're not vetting them.
Copy of their utility bill to show that it came to them?
We could ask that.
Utility bill?
But
that's not a bad idea.
How can we?
Because if you haven't paid it, you can't recover something you haven't paid out. You would have to pay that. And I think that would go a long way with PP&L, because they're saying, well, you're not getting it. Just, no, they're going to pay it, but they're going to sue to get it back.
I don't want us having to decide whose economic hardship is hardship. And I don't want to expose people's personal finances to, just purely, this is my name and address.
Right.
And it's not for us to prove. They're stating it's an economic hardship to them. That's on them to state.
That's enough for them.
I'd like to simplify it to the level of what all we're collecting and if there's a possibility of that.
There is. Yeah, absolutely. I'll recraft this and get it back to the board on Thursday. And I think we nailed this one down, but I think we had come to consensus that it was going to be the county that then notifies consumers that there wasn't going to be reliance on the Pacific Power Company or the
well, the county was going to go ahead and...
Can we send out a little, can we send out notice? Because we'll have to notice all of PPNL's customers. Can we ask PPNL things, send it out to their bills?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly, those are your options, right? And so, I think we talked about that.
Can you include this flyer in your bill?
Why not?
Yeah.
So you need to notify your customers.
Try that, or are we going to buy some stamps?
But that may go a long ways into saying, you know, can you see, saying, you know what, that makes perfectly good sense. And you have to put that option in your bill. You have to put it...
We can't require them to do that. But we can ask.
But the PUC can.
Yes, they can.
They don't seem to be on our side.
They're not.
No.
I get along pretty good with Leith, to be honest with you.
That's an individual, not a board.
She held out as long as she could.
Well, I think the intent is to... that we're not here to judge someone's individual economic status.
No,
it's for them to say it's a difficulty
wise.
Or not.
I agree. It's be very, very simple.
And we don't have to then keep somebody's confidential documentation of their personal finances in a way for public...
And it can't come back to us later saying, I lost, all of a sudden I'm getting stuff charged to my account because there's the leak in the courthouse.
Leaked.
No. I agree. I think we need to agree to something.
I'll rework it along those lines.
Okay.
And bring it back on Thursday.
Thank you.
And that'll basically be the
I
end.
I think I would put language in it that the bill has to be paid. You know, the invoice, when you get your invoice for PPNL for $36, you've got to pay that in. You have to pay that in because you can't. We can't.
We have no standing.
Get it back if you
that,
didn't put it in.
Okay, got it. Include the bill.
There have to be damages, and that would be the damage.
For the many people out there, kind of waiting on what to do, and I get frequent calls. We would maybe tentatively say that if everyone likes what they see on Thursday, there'll be a motion and a vote, and that's going to be it. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that would not,
we'll
of course, include public comment.
We'll have a form
to
approve.
So
we have to have an order, probably.
Yes, there would be an order. Yeah, so we can potentially, I mean, we'd have that ready to go on Thursday. If you
want,
or you want to wait until Wednesday. Yeah.
When's the date to start accepting those?
Whenever the board...
Immediately after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we could move it to Wednesday the 13th.
Maybe,
the business session.
You know, and then you get public comment.
Yeah.
So that's to be waived.
That might be, because public comment, I'm sure, is going to go in favor of this.
Yes, probably.
Yeah, it keeps bolstering our a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's the plan, then, it sounds like. We'll go ahead and plan for
bring it back
Wednesday.
On Thursday so we can approve it, and then we'll decide where to go with it if we go Wednesday the 13th. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sound good?
That'd be the last time all three of us could look at it anyway.
If it reads well, we'll do that.
Awesome.
And did I see next week's business session is moved
tonight? So it'll be a morning.
Normally been a night one.
Okay.
So.
All right, Thursday it is. And... Unless there's more to be said on that, we have the final topic.
Which is Allen Creek Road Jurisdictional Exchange, which is page 11 in our thing. So we have a lot of stuff in here, but it starts with the IGA with the city regarding the Allen Creek Road Improvements West Harvick Road to Denton Trail. So I'm going to... So based on Commissioner DeYoung's request to entertain a... jurisdictional exchange, legal has been looking at how that we would be able to do that. And city was also looking at that, but legal's come back, so this is where we're at.
Sorry.
Yeah, it sure is, and we're not gonna really build. May I see the IGA?
I've got the MOU right here.
And so I'll collect any really meaty legal questions if they come up. But I had a feeling maybe
chicken or beef.
It wasn't gonna happen. Yeah, exactly. Today, so we're just doing in the open portion of the session. Well, at the very end of what I believe is in your packet is a sample resolution, and this was something that...
I'll have to find that.
Yep, and so as I think we're all aware, as a preliminary matter to exercising eminent domain, there needs to be a resolution of necessity. And as you'll see, once everybody's able to get onto that page, and I'll just hold it up here in the meantime, and this was incorporated into the agreement with the city. So,
Exhibit B?
Yes. And so at the bottom of that, it says property descriptions. Well, the reason this was never like signed and approved is because we don't know the properties yet. This thing is still at that point in time, right, where the property hasn't been. But this is basically what is inked in the agreement as part of the understanding between the two entities. Okay, so switching to paragraph 5, so the very last page probably of the materials you were provided and of the agreement.
gives us real insight into
back on.
Yeah, and this may be a trip down memory lane for most of us here.
Well, this resolution honestly was before us.
Yeah, at the city.
What now?
I wasn't there either.
Oh, you weren't at the city at that time.
This is.
The resolution was never before anybody. It was only an exhibit to this IGA.
The IGA from 2015.
And I resigned from the city council in 2015. So
got it. Okay. Yeah, and so. So
paragraph what?
Now we're talking paragraph 5. Let's look there.
Okay.
So the one that says number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's on page 2 of that sort of draft resolution. And I don't want to undervalue the resolution by calling it a draft because this was sort of language that was agreed to in principle and is part of this.
It's referenced in the IGA.
And it's referenced in there, yes. So, all right, anyway, it says the City of Grants Pass or an agent working there is given by the county express authority to pursue any required property right acquisitions in the name of the county for the proposed project in a negotiate. And so there the county has assigned to the city in writing that it will be the city who pursues property right acquisitions. Mm-hmm. And then if you go even further into paragraph 6, and I'm really moving fast through this, and so we can dwell as long on it as you want, but just looking at the plain language. So in paragraph 6, it does say what happens next if there's no agreement, and it expressly designates the city attorney of Grants Pass to commence proceedings to acquire the property, including condemnation.
So it's always been a part of the IGA that the city would be the ones pursuing this anyhow.
That's my take on it, yes, correct. Yes.
So,
but in the name of the county, are they going to turn and blame us while they're condemning?
I get it.
Yeah? I just saw it right here. Because it says they can pursue any required property right acquisition in the name of the county.
Right, because so, it's county.
On our behalf, because it's county jurisdiction.
In 2015, the commissioners city council at that time agreed that the city would pursue these on behalf of the county. So at that time, they authorized that action to be taken.
So we already got what we want?
Now, as far as giving the road to the city.
Yeah, I mean, this is this is right where the conversation left off with the concern that was expressed last time.
My only hang-up about the whole thing is item under county responsibilities 1A, the county shall cooperate with the city in the development of plans and specifications for the bidding and construction of Allen Creek Road Improvement Project. That never happened.
Okay.
That never happened.
It hasn't happened yet. I mean, right?
It's all been proposed.
And we've had our input.
Ignored.
And it didn't go anywhere, so that's fine, but when we were talking, Simon never saw the plans until it was come over here and signed it. And he never even saw it. So,
I'm just curious, before we move on, under Section D has a default or breach. Either county or city may terminate this agreement on the event of the breach of the agreement by the other. Prior to such termination, the party seeking termination shall give to the other party written notice of the breach and intent to terminate. I'm sorry, I am on page...
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the IGA.
4.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So 4 and 5. 4 talks about termination for cause. It goes into default or breach. I mean, if we claim default based on the first item that we have not been listened to for the plans, or, I mean, we can offer that we would like you to take the road and you can proceed as, or we're going to go here based on item number 1 that we were not included on the plan.
We're not quite there yet to say that we can transfer jurisdiction of that road to the city.
We're told this up.
Well, I could put up we have done some legal research on that point, and we're happy to provide that in the confidential memorandum.
Because there's a hurdle. I want to know what the hurdle is.
On that point, we would need,
you need some more time?
Advice. Yeah, a little more time.
Okay.
Yes, we're working on research that to the end. And then
I would like to know if there's any way that can happen, that a jurisdictional exchange with the terms, as we've stated, that goes on. They get the whole thing and it's theirs, and then it's not, it's up to the city council to say, you bet, we're thumbs up and it's going to go forward.
We have no more.
You don't have to ask the county anything. We're out of it. Right. Our obligation in the MOU or the contract or whatever it was $120,000. And I don't know if where this thing accurately states that we're going to use your. I already know what I think is going to happen.
Okay.
And I don't want that to happen. And I think the way that's going to be avoided, and that the city, then it's the city. I don't want to get into another Beacon Drive thing here either. I want that jurisdiction exchange to take it.
Well, I'm pretty sure I know what our options are here, and we'll give you the options.
Before rather than after.
I'm pretty sure we can. Yeah. Well.
Then we don't have to sign off on it.
I know.
The city's also looking, and they think they've found an ORS that they'll forward to you guys as far as why they think it can happen.
Sorry?
The city's also looking at how they think it can happen. They were looking for an ORS that would cover, and they think they found one, so they were going to follow up to say that.
Okay. That's exciting.
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Sorry. Let's see what they have to say.
Let's see what they have to say, and we'll certainly
provide. Is that okay. Sarcasm? I want to be able to read it in the future. She's still wanting
that's correctly translated.
Golly, don't get in a fight with her earlier.
Don't ever. I'll tell you what. One thing you got to learn, don't. There's three of them there, but don't make the one in the middle mad.
Oh.
The one that's got all. She's.
Files.
Those big pile of papers is to throw it.
Uh huh.
Okay,
so well said.
Yes, sir. Yet?
All right, yeah. So, before DeYoung got, Commissioner DeYoung got here, we talked a little bit about the May election timeline, and now that he's back, he was even the one, I think, talking about a potential question last time. Did you have any ideas for a potential question you want us to start working on?
What are we talking about a question?
That's where I've drawn a blank.
We all drew a blank.
What was it?
Fire.
Or maybe it was Commissioner Morgan was talking about that.
The only one I thought about was fire district.
Oh, fire district, that's where it was.
Transient lodging tax.
That's it.
Thank
okay,
you.
And you did bring that up, and I know I think I pledged last time to bring it up this week, and then I went ahead and sent it to Beecher.
Thank you.
No. So next time we meet, I think we'll be ready to.
That'd be Thursday.
Well, I think that would be a good.
No, I'll put it on for 2 weeks from now.
Okay. Before we throw something
so
out there on
the
November ballot,
question.
I think I'd like to find out what.
It's not an advisory question. It would be a revenue measure.
And yeah,
countywide
ordinance. And I forget they've changed it recently. Can we even do revenue measures in
May?
Even number of years?
We're in an odd number.
We're in an odd number year.
You mean general?
Yeah,
November,
we might have
but
to.
Odd.
There might be a limitation on that one.
Yeah.
Work it off the top.
Well, let's
of my head
look at it because I think we wanted to do something on that transient tax sooner rather than later.
We want to move forward with it whenever it is.
It's just what Wally didn't finish was that if we want an advisory question on the May ballot, we have to
it
in by middle of next week.
Yep.
Right. Right.
So if you have ideas, now's the time.
Okay. Well,
and we were going to address it on Thursday.
I think we were talking about
because we couldn't remember if we had an advisory question or not.
So
we scapegoated you, but then you showed up.
Sorry.
So if you think of one, it's between
now. Yeah, between now and Thursday.
On
time is getting
is this, for, is this yours or mine?
On us talking about
that is your yours, I think.
It is now.
Yeah, let's talk after now.
What's
now? Okay. All right, so are there any additional subjects or matters from commissioners that should come before us right now?
No, ma'am.
I've had a pretty successful couple of days.
Good. I'm glad you're safely here. I expected nothing less, but I still, worried for you.
Real good meeting last night of the Republican Women's at Almer's. Very, very lively discussion about the bill, and it was very well received, everybody involved. So I think it was really good.
Good.
Really good. So and then I met with Representative, can't remember his name right now, but anyway, he's in House Economic Development Committee.
Lively.
Yeah.
John.
I met with him today, and we requested a hearing, and he said, you bet. So we've requested a hearing with both House Revenue and with the House.
Good.
Yeah, so, yeah, he was, had a really good conversation with him today. And I was surprised.
So I know you told me, but so the others, so it sounds like it's starting in economic development.
Starting in economic development, if they move it forward.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where you want it to go for the following reasons. So there is a deadline for legislation that has not been advanced out of committee. And it's like mid-April, I think.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't apply to revenue. And so to the extent that you can get something parked in revenue, it can last there and the last minute of the last day of session.
Cool.
So, you know, that's, I think.
Representative Leaf was a little disappointed that he wasn't able to sign on as a sponsor. I think he can still do that, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
And I said, and he's on Ways and Means.
Good.
Public Safety Ways and Means. They have like 20 Ways and Means, I'm learning. It's not really that many, but they have like several.
More than one.
But it's, you know, I can tell you that we have a grower, local grower, that's really campaigning hard against it. I have some work to do in Jackson County, and because there's some information over there that I don't think is right. Then I'll see if I can get that straightened out with the commissioners involved, coming from the commissioners rather than from this other person.
And they could tweak any bill up to the last minute
in revenue,
right?
Mm-hmm. And rules, those are the two committees.
It probably happens often.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
For logical reasons in revenue is because they get to the end of the budget process.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, that's it, yeah.
Find out where.
Yeah.
But everything's kind of been working in our favor. It just happens that the audit came out and said that OLCC and OHA can only inspect 3% of all the grows.
Oh, my God.
3 lousy percent statewide, and they're going, hey, we don't know what to do, and it's all about revenue. Everything is all about money. For law enforcement, it says, well, who's handling that black market? Black market's completely out of control because there's no revenue available for local jurisdiction. It couldn't have been crafted.
Couldn't have been better.
Couldn't have been said better. And it's just resounding around that cap.
They said it.
Everybody going, oh, I get it. My point today with Representative Lively was that he's in economic development. I says, I've got to be real honest with you. I said, when people come, and I'm been on the SoReady team that's taking people around to show them what's going on in Josephine County and showing them all of our neat stuff, and then we never hear from them again. Because first off, they read in the local paper about our lack of law enforcement, and they're not going to bring their management teams here. That's a real, real detriment to economic development. It has been for a long time. Mm-hmm. So when I said, I've been involved with economic development for 8 years, and I'm frustrated. I'm not blaming economic development for it. I'm blaming the circumstances of where we live and how do we change that. How do we make that better? And this will make that better. So.
Without asking for money from them, which is
exactly
a big deal.
That's right. The buzz up there. The buzz up there is you guys have a solution.
Yeah.
That's the big buzz up there. So, you know, Southern Oregon's got a solution. And nobody else has so far. I keep hearing it, and I've got a solution. Why? We're going to tell the state to give us 40% of the revenue they collect. You know, Commissioner Morgan knows that does not work. You get your rear end handed to you when you even talk about that, because you're going 40% of those revenues go right to schools, and 15% goes to the state cops. So guess what? You're not going to drag money away from those two entities. It will never happen. You'll never get it split up like what we would all think would be the proper way the fair way to split it up. Goes to them first, and that's the problem. So. But one of the things I do have to stress, and I stressed it last night, I said, you know, a county can be in this program, and of the five counties, when they go to their voters in November, if it gets through legislation, it doesn't have to be $1 a square foot, and it doesn't have to be $50 a plant. It can be less than that. That's a cap. That's a cap. So if you don't want to do any harm to your marijuana community, waive it until next year if you want. Change it any time by a vote of the people.
Yeah, phase it in or whatever.
You can phase it in. Right. You can. But you're in the program. And I stress one of the things is that eventually, and I don't know if it'll be this year, next year, 2 years from now, or 3 years from now, the ideal situation is that the federal government allows Oregon to sell its marijuana to Nevada, who doesn't have marijuana, and we have a surplus. So let's just get that surplus from going to Tennessee. Let's sell it to another legal state. And then when you have local growers that are in the black market thing, they go, well, how do I sell to Nevada? Just say, you have to be in one of those two state programs or you don't sell anything. And so that would encourage and push a lot of the black market growers into those two state programs. And that's where we really want to go. Because then everybody benefits. Todd Nash and Wallawa gets a little piece of the action because there'll be a lot more money going into this two state program, which will go to schools, which will go to the cops, which will, it'll help everybody all the way around. So it's a good narrative to have. Last night at the, I was probably an hour at least at the Republican Women's thing. And a lot of really good questions, good exchange. They were all thumbs up. Man, let's go. What are we waiting for? So I like that. It was a good thing to have. I felt good. I slept well last night. Until the alarm clock went off.
Yeah, early.
Okay. Any other items?
I'm saving mine for tomorrow.
I'm so excited. All right. We are adjourned at 4:44.